Around 13 years ago, this month, I opened up a computer repair shop in Berlin, New Jersey. It was crazy. I had no idea how to run a business, but I faked my way along. And my bread and butter was people who messed their computers up with viruses and hard drives that went bad. So I spent most of my evenings taking computers apart, trying to back up data. And when I think about all the stuff that I used to do back then, with today's computing technology and the way infrastructure is, my job would have been so much easier. Because people back so much information up on the cloud. Whether it's enterprise, whether it's business, or whether it's personal use, storing things on computers and on cloud infrastructure is a major part of people's lives today. And for home consumers, they may not understand all of the technology that goes into it and how it's different when you go into your professional lives, when you go into your offices, how that technology and how that infrastructure is very different than what you have at home. So this episode, we're focusing on storage. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode number 38. Before we get to our main topic, let's discuss the acquisitions that occurred in the last 8 days. Microsoft has purchased an AI scheduling tool called Genie to make Office 365 smarter. The application supposedly makes scheduling meetings easier, especially for people who don't work within the same company. The app works by being CC'd in emails, and then uses natural language processing to parse the contents of emails to understand key requirements for the meeting. And then apparently it automatically sends out an invitation on your behalf. Microsoft notes that the tool is especially useful for large groups for when you don't have access to someone's calendar. Apple also acquired a company, personal health data startup Glimpse, with two eyes, because why not? Not spelling things properly is cool. Glimpse has built a personal data health platform that enables any American to collect, personalize, and share pictures of their health data. The company was started in 2013 by two serial entrepreneurs that spent the past decade working on health startups. The acquisition apparently happened earlier this year, but now the company has confirmed its purchase, saying that Apple buys smaller technology companies from time to time, and we generally do not discuss our purpose or plans. How very pleasant of them. While this technically isn't acquisition news, I also wanted to bring up an interesting note that according to Business Insider, Salesforce is suddenly hiring fewer people after spending $4 billion buying companies. According to the article, there are 30% fewer job openings listed in Salesforce's website over the past 3 months, with most of the job reductions occurring since early July. And this is according to market research firm Cohen & Company. The firm noted that there's also been travel restrictions within the company, citing unnamed sources. We have discussed acquisitions quite a bit lately on this podcast. And here is an interesting consequence of spending so much capital. It's good to see stories painting the other side of this picture. And speaking of capital expenditure, let's talk about buying storage. IBM is making the news this week, and this is why we're talking about storage this week, because they have introduced entry-level storage systems. According to ZDNet.com, IBM launched StoreWise V7000F and StoreWise 5030F as mid-range and entry-level systems. The systems come with Spectrum Virtualize, which is designed for data compression, provisioning, and snapshots across various systems. The timing of these introductions is to take advantage of the potential disruption of the Dell acquisition of EMC. In a quote from ChannelBiz.uk, up to 80% of IBM all-flash storage is sold by IBM business partners. The IBM Flash-In initiative will amplify the company's all-flash offensive to help business partners reach new clients not currently served by IBM, and clients who may potentially face disruption if there are product portfolio integrations with Dell and EMC. And this information is coming on the news that IBM was named a leader in the Storage Magic Quadrant for flash storage solutions. This may not be the most interesting news, but I felt like it was familiar. And then I went back and read the blog post from 2 weeks ago, and HP just did the same thing. There was an article that stated that there were new HP Enterprise releases to bring enterprise-level storage to the SMB market. So HPE is releasing two new storage solutions, a flexible hybrid cloud-based Store Virtual 3200 and a solid-state-based MSA 2042. And the 2042 was specifically aimed at helping SMBs modernize their on-site infrastructure without breaking the bank. So we have two large infrastructure companies within a week of each other, both basically releasing the same kind of flash-based storage infrastructure aimed at entry-level consumers. And this is all on the heels of Cisco wanting to be a software company. So why storage? Why is storage so special that companies that have been shedding their hardware assets continue to go in this market. And this is really why I'm asking the question. I alluded to this in last week's podcast. The cloud is a looming threat to the storage business. And again, I want to make it clear that I do think that there are certain sensitive information businesses like medical and banking that will always find it difficult and be resistant to moving to the cloud. But for these, I'm using air quotes, entry-level businesses and these entry-level markets that IBM and HP are trying to cater to, what's the advantage of developing your own storage array system versus going to the cloud? And this is where we're going to do a little education moment. The way that Google and Amazon provide storage is vastly different technologically than how EMC, Dell, and IBM sell storage arrays. In very simple terms, I know this is going to sound like child's play to a lot of the listeners, so I'll try to get through it quickly. IBM, Dell, EMC, HP, when they sell you a storage solution, and so we're clear, you know those thumb drives that you use to get information off of your computer and you know, throw it in your backpack or your purse? Those thumb drives, they make hard drives out of them now, and they're more expensive. They're not vastly more expensive, but they're more expensive. The benefit is they're super fast, and in theory, they're more reliable because there are no mechanical parts spinning on the inside. That's how hard drives work. There's a spinning disk on the inside of the drive. So a flash drive is considered to be better than a traditional hard drive. A traditional hard drive gives you more capacity, they give you more room, and they're cheaper. So a lot of companies that have storage solutions are sort of thinking about going from a traditional hard drive solution that they currently have to flash-based one, which is faster, and theoretically, you're not chewing through as many drives. And companies like EMC and Dell and IBM, what you do is you basically have a tower full of drives, and then you have a controller unit that decides where all the data goes and when a hard drive goes bad and it needs to be replaced. That's the basics of an enterprise storage solution, and I'm simplifying the heck out of it. But you have a controller box, and then you have an array of hard drives that can be replaced when one goes bad, and then the controller unit knows how to replace and replicate the drive that goes bad. In a cloud solution, companies like Google and Amazon don't just have a controller unit and then a tower of drives. In a cloud solution, you have a warehouse full of computers. Computers like you buy your kids for college. They're not the most powerful things on the planet. They're basically consumer grade. So you have a processor, you have memory, you have RAM, and then you might have two bays for a hard drive. And you have a warehouse full of these things, thousands of them. And then you have dozens of these data centers. So let's say you're using Google Drive and you create your resume on there. So you type up your resume, it's in a virtual application, but that file may initially be stored in North Carolina because there's a data center in North Carolina for Google. And then let's say there are 5,000 machines in that data center. There's an algorithm that'll decide how many copies within that data center your resume will be copied to. It won't be all of them, but it'll be some of them. Then let's say there's a data center in California. A perfect copy of that resume will also be moved over to California. And then a perfect copy will be moved over to Europe. And a perfect copy will be moved over to Asia. And the reason they can do that is because there is a CPU basically attached to every hard drive. There are pros and cons to this scenario. It takes up a lot of energy to keep these systems cool. And Google has basically turned their artificial intelligence systems in on itself. And over the last few months have been able to reduce that energy consumption by 42%. They're using a lot of water cooling, but their data centers run hot. For those of you that are data center nerds, they're running at like 80 degrees constantly. So they have specialized infrastructure that when done in scale, makes storage cheaper. And there's also built-in redundancy there. So if you're like a real estate company, having that information on the cloud in a bring your own device type of setting probably works really well. But if you're a bank, you probably don't want your customer information accessible on the quote unquote public cloud. And companies like Amazon and Google are making privatized clouds and segmented clouds, and they're available to customers. I even think the government is on some of the Amazon cloud, and we'll see that continue to grow. But the question becomes, will there be a situation where storage in the cloud is not only cheaper, but it's more efficient due to the redundancy than maintaining your own data center, even with the security implications? These are the questions that we're going to be facing over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years. And like I said in last week's podcast, the data centers, the private data centers that survive, whether it be the Amazon, the Microsofts, and the Googles, and then the handful of companies that continue to keep their own data centers. I shouldn't say handful, that's ridiculous. The companies that keep their own data centers. There's going to be such a specialized market for that type of equipment that the manufacturers of this equipment are really going to have to cater to that specific audience. So excuse the geek talk. I felt like I was a little vague in last week's podcast and I wanted to drill down a little bit more, explain the technology a little bit better to help make my point. Speaking of making a point, Oracle is making points all over the U.S. legal system. Frequent listeners to the podcast will know that this is not new information, but Oracle continues their lawsuit against Google due to Java. That is continuing. The courts are starting to ramp up again. In addition to that, there's another round of Oracle versus the state of Oregon. As the legal battle continues, one of the first decisions in the case was handed down this week in Oregon's favor. Oracle had asserted that emails were withheld in a way that violated public record law. But the judge left little doubt as to his decision, saying that Oracle is wrong, both on the law and the facts. I find it intriguing to consistently see the reaction of public officials and lawmakers to the way Oracle presents their lawsuits and their facts. I know I have a couple lawyers that listen to this podcast. I'm sure you'll find this entertaining. And speaking of lawsuits, both Hewlett-Packard companies, HP Inc. and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, are apparently being sued in the state of California for age discrimination. According to the lawsuit, during a massive job elimination in 2012, where CEO Meg Whitman eliminated 30,000 jobs, workers over 40 years old were significantly more likely to have their jobs eliminated under the company's restructuring plan. A spokesperson for HPE denied that age was a consideration in the company's layoffs, stating that the decision to implement a workforce reduction is always difficult, but we are confident that our decisions were based on legitimate factors unrelated to age. The story continues to pick up steam in the media, so this will not be the last we hear of this. And shifting over to some news that you can use, since we talked about things that are aging, let's talk about air travel and aging technology. Did you know that the backbone of airline travel, a system known as the Transaction Processing Facility, or the TPF, was designed by our favorite company, IBM, in the 1960s, and we're still using it to book airline travel. IBM is still updating the system, and apparently did a major rewrite about a decade ago. The problem is that TPF system is now being surrounded by modern technology. And all of those new systems, all of those fancy websites that you use to book your travel, have to go back to that old technology to make reservations and to figure out travel patterns. So you know those airline issues that happened a couple of weeks ago? That was because of a power outage in one of the major TPF systems. And because the TPF system in one area fell out of sync with other technologies, the whole thing became a disaster. So for you decision makers out there who are wondering, is it time to upgrade my applications? The answer is yes. I'm kidding. Not really. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.